Beloved congregation, with the help of the Lord, I will preach the word of God this evening from the chapter that we have been reading, Judges 2, and I read especially one verse, verse 16, Judges 2, verse 16, where we read, "Nevertheless, the Lord raised up judges which delivered them out of the hand of those that spoiled them." The theme for this evening is a faithful God for the unfaithful. 3 points. An unfaithful people. The second point, worldliness. And the third point, chastisement and salvation. The theme is a faithful God for the unfaithful. 3 points, an unfaithful people, worldliness, and chastisement and salvation. Congregation, there was a girl, boys and girls, and she was looking at the hands of her mother. And she said to her mother, "Mother, why are your hands looking so awful? They are not nice to look at. I do not like it the way your hands are like." And then the mother said, "Well, child, come, sit down. I'll tell you something. It happened when you were very young. You were still in the cradle like a babe. And then there came a fire in the house. A very severe fire. And it should have burned everything, and also you should have been burned. If I wouldn't have been there. And when I saw this happening, I went to the cradle and I took you out of the fire, and my hands were burned, but your life was saved. And that's why my hands look like they are." And then the girl took the hands of her mother and she kissed the hands of her mother, and she said, "Well, mother, mom, you have the most beautiful hands that I have ever seen. The most beautiful hands." And every day when she saw the hands of her mother, she remembered the love and the faithfulness of her mother, and that her life was kept by the courage of her mother and the love of her mother. She never forgot it. What a wonderful thing if we would see the hands of the Lord, the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ that were nailed to the cross. If we would see it every day by faith and say, "These are the most beautiful hands." And if we by faith would kiss the hands of the Savior, if we would know by faith, "He saved me out of the fire of the wrath of God," it would change your life. That would make you to love the Lord, to be willing to imitate Him, to follow Him by faith, and to hate and fight sin, wouldn't it? Yes, do you know that? Do you know the love of Christ, boys and girls, in your life? Oh, we cannot understand His love. It's too deep. And we can never express what He has done to save sinful and unworthy people. We can compare it to what the Lord has done to His people Israel, which He has brought out of the land of Egypt, the land of slavery, where they were suffering because of the hard labor and the work they had to do, and they almost died there. in the land of Egypt in the slavery. But the Lord heard their crying, and he came in his faithfulness and remembered his covenant, and he brought the people of Israel out of the land of Egypt, and he set them free from those that oppressed them and made them to be slaves, and he brought them to a good land, the promised land, a land of milk and honey. So that's what the Lord is doing to all his children. He is making them free from the slavery of sin, to bring them in the communion with himself. How good is that? And giving them that expectation of those heavenly places that we can compare also to the promised land. We can learn from this chapter what the people of Israel did. There's a warning in it to us. And I want to think about this, what the people of Israel did, because I would like to, in the following midweek services, to preach about one of the judges, Samson, who was given by the Lord to set the people free from their enemies, especially the Philistines. And we will see what sort of a time it was that the judges came to set the people free. It was a time that everyone did what was good according to his or her own opinion. But they thought, well, I like to do this, that's what they did. And then, time and again, they went into sin and idolatry, turning their back to the Lord. And so the Lord had to afflict them and bring them in distress so that they would cry to the Lord and return and repent, and he would send the judge and set them free. And we read in this chapter that the Lord was sending an angel. He was sending a message to his people to warn them. And then he's remembering them about what he has done to them. Like that girl every day remembered what her mother had done to her. So the Lord is remembering us by his word about the love of Christ who came to this world to save sinners from eternal wrath. Did you ever think about it when you hear the Ten Commandments, young people, at Sunday morning, the Lord's Day morning, Sabbath day? Then it always starts remembering what the Lord has done to his people, that he was bringing them out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. And we can hear in that words what the Lord has done to all his children. He has brought them out of the slavery of sin. And after that, the Lord is giving his commandments. And that's teaching us that the Lord wants us to serve him for gratitude, that we wouldn't serve him like a slave, but from our hearts, from love, because we see what the Lord has done. And that's what the Lord is saying here to his people. I made you to go up out of Egypt, and I brought you unto the land which I swear unto your fathers, and I said, I will never break my covenant with you. That's the faithfulness of God. And we will see that it is unto an unfaithful people. And how is it in our life? So we are now not speaking about the world, but we are speaking about the church. How is it in the church, and how is it in our congregation, Providence Reformed Church? If it would depend upon our faithfulness, we
would we be saved? Would we enter the heavenly places? If we really would think that, we deceive ourselves. Oh no. Oh no, it's not our faithfulness that will make us to be saved. It's only the faithfulness of the Lord. And we cannot understand that He is so patient to us. Did you ever see that? So that you didn't boast in your own faithfulness and your own goodness, but that you learned to boast. And the Lord taught you to boast in His faithfulness. And I said, I will never break my covenant with you. And that's what the Lord has done. Till the day of today, He is really faithful. Do you see that? I think we cannot deny that. How would it be possible to doubt about that? And still we do that. Oh, many times it happens when we fall in sin that we think, well, would the Lord be willing to forgive me again? And we think about the Lord like we think about man. With man it is, when you do something wrong, you do it one time, they maybe will forgive when you ask and confess. Maybe a second time, third time, then they say, well, now it's finished. I'm ready with it. It's enough. I cannot bear it anymore. So we are not so faithful and not so patient and not so forbearing. But the Lord, He is. When we come and when we really confess and repent, He will surely forgive. Oh yes, I hope you see that. What a deep joy and amazement is that in your heart when you see that. The Lord says, I will keep my covenant. I will never break my covenant with you. A faithful God for the unfaithful. And then the Lord, the angel of the Lord, is speaking to the people and is warning them. And the angel of the Lord said, well, but why did you turn your back unto me? But ye have not obeyed my voice. Why have you done this? That's good. If the Lord is coming to warn us, isn't that His faithfulness? Isn't that showing that He is not breaking His covenant? When He is keeping us back with all sort of means to stop us from continuing in sin, why didn't you obey me? Why have you done this? They have been unfaithful. And what happens when the Lord is speaking in that way to His people? They start to weep. Oh, how good it is. And the Lord is revealing to us what we have done and how we are, that we start to weep. Matthew Henry says somewhere, well, it's a miracle how people can read the Word of God always with dry eyes. If you read there how you are, what I have done, wouldn't you have those times that you have to weep before the face of the Lord because of what you have done? And the people lifted up their voice and wept, and they called the name of that place Bochim. That means weeping. So that's good. If we know what it is to weep about our sins, but be careful that you do not make from your tears a sacrifice to try to satisfy the Lord. No, there's no foundation in our weeping. And they called the name of that place Bochim, and they sacrificed there unto the Lord. There should be a sacrifice. And there is a sacrifice. Oh, seeing what our sins are should bring us to the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus. To find peace in His wounds, in His blood that is washing from all sins. So we shouldn't stay in our weeping or tears, but we should come to that one sacrifice that He brought, that He was sacrificing at the cross. And that's enough. That's enough. For your sins. For your sins and my sins. Oh yes, there's power in the blood. And the Lord is so faithful for unfaithful people. And then there were fruits, and Joshua had let the people go, and the children of Israel went every man unto his inheritance to possess the land, and the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua. What a blessing. And all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord that He did for Israel. What a blessing if the Lord is coming and revealing our sins, and it's touching our hearts, and we know what it is to be sad about our sin, to repent, but also we know about the sacrifice, and there's gratitude that we will serve the Lord. Oh, that we may see it in our days. Our second point is the worldliness. And Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died being 110 years old. And they buried him in the border of his inheritance, in Timnath-Heres, in the mount of Ephraim, and on the north side of the hill Gaas. And there's a commentator that says, well, this was really a God-fearing and blessed man. He had his inheritance chosen there in the mountains. Not the best place. He was the leader of the people. He was willing to sacrifice himself for his people and was willing to take the worst part of the land. That's really grace. If we have such a sight of the riches of the Lord that we can be satisfied with having not the best part, even if he would be the leader of the people. And also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers, and there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. A new generation is coming. And they didn't know the works of the Lord. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Baalim. So they started to do idolatry, to serve the idols of the people around them, the Gentiles, the pagans. A new generation came that didn't know the works of the Lord. Oh, let us pray that the Lord will work in the hearts of all generations, also in our days, and that He will give a new generation that will know the work of the Lord by experience. How necessary is it to know the work of the Lord by experience in our hearts, that we have the Word of God is such a blessing. But where the Holy Spirit is working, it will give us the experience of faith in our hearts and in our souls. And that will make us to say that no sorrow will ever take it away out of our hearts and memory. if he know by experience the goodness, the grace of the Lord, that will make us that we will not return. We cannot. If we know by experience the love of Christ in our heart, we can still fall in sin, but we will have that desire to experience the love of Christ again. Maybe there's someone who is feeling sad because you are not experiencing the love of Christ in your heart, and maybe you are having a struggle, a fight inside. Maybe you are doubting if the Lord was ever working in your heart. Did you have that desire to experience the love of Christ again? That is showing that you know what it is to experience the love of Christ. It is really true that we need to know the Lord from His Word by faith, but that is an experimental thing. There will be the experience of faith. But now we have to be careful again. Sometimes we think that we need experience as a foundation for our salvation. And that's dangerous. If you think, well, I can only be saved if I first have such a strong experience in my soul that the Word of God is coming to my heart in a very special way. And as long as that is not, as long as that is not happening, then it's not allowed for me to trust the promises of the Lord. Is that true? No. The Lord has been giving His Word, His promises, and we should trust Him upon His Word. And the Lord didn't teach us in His Word that we should wait till there's a certain extraordinary experience that could feel as if there would come a special message from heaven. No. The Word of God is the special message from heaven, and we should trust the Lord. And oh, you say, I cannot do that. My heart is so doubting and full of unbelief. I know. But the Lord is so willing and able to work faith in your heart. Pray Him that you learn that He will teach you to trust Him upon His Word. And that will have the fruit of experience. And that will touch your heart in such a way. You will start to know the Lord so personally, know Him more and more, that you will never forget His work. A new generation came. They didn't know the Lord, nor yet the work which He had done for Israel. So do you know the Lord? Do you know His work that He has done to save sinners? Do you know it from His Word by faith in your heart in such a way that it's changing your life? But be careful that you do not make a foundation in your own experience. The foundation is outside of ourselves, in the Lord Jesus and in His work. And what happens when we do not know the work of the Lord? When spiritual life is going down, moral life will go down. That's what we see happening in the Netherlands and in the United States. Where spiritual life is going down, their moral life will go down. And we will start to live like the world. And that's what they did. They started to live like the pagans around them, the Gentiles around them, to serve the idols of fertility. They expected the fruits from those idols. They should help them and bless their work so that it would be a rich harvest. They expected it from those idols, like they saw the people around them did. And they made those nice images that were nice for their eyes. You see what happens sometimes in the church. And that's a danger, when we do not have the experience of faith in our hearts. We are looking for other things, nice things, that will give us an experience. We will arrange our own experience in a way that start to look like the entertainment in the world. And so worldliness can enter the church, like it happened here to the people with a new generation that came up. They didn't know the Lord and didn't know His work. When we do not know Him personally, when there is not that spiritual life, and then it will have an influence in our moral life. And they forsook the Lord and served Baal and Ashtaroth. And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and He delivered them in the hand of spoilers that spoiled them. That's the third point. Chastisement and salvation. The Lord delivered them to the hands of spoilers that spoiled them. Oh, that's a blessing. How you say, is that a blessing? It's a judgment. Yeah, but if the Lord would not have, it's His covenant faithfulness. If He would not have done that, what would have happened? They would have continued. If He would not have stopped them by His chastisement, they would have continued in sin, and they would have, it would have brought them down, so that they would have stopped to exist. The Savior would not have been born from the people of the covenant. Oh yeah, it can be that the Lord is chastising us with His fatherly hand, that we afterwards have to say, "Oh Lord, this was good for me. I needed it. My heart was so hard, and sins came up in my life more and more. And it was really necessary to bring me back and to bring me so low that I would come to the Lord Jesus and would be made willing to be saved by Him again and more and more." What a danger it is that we will start to love the world in a time of history like we have. A time that we have everything we need for our earthly life. I think most of us can say that the one may have more than the other one. What a danger is there that we will start to live a life like the world. And that can start in a very small way. A little bit. And then a little bit more of sin, of worldliness, and then a little bit more, and you get used to it, and a little bit more, and it can influence us more and more. Oh, what a danger. And in the end, you know, when the world is coming in our hearts, in our houses, more and more, in all sorts of way, the world of God will go out. Isn't that happening? More time for the pleasure of the world, and less time and energy and concentration for the studying of the Word of God. And then at the end, we will not feel any diligence or interest to study and read the Word. Oh, and that's really a danger that the Lord will give us over, that we become harder and harder when we forget about the Lord. Nevertheless, the Lord raised up judges, which delivered them out of the hand of those that spoiled them. So, it happened in these times of the judges again and again that they turned their backs to the Lord and started to serve idols and do their own sinful things. And then the Lord had to bring them in tribulation and bring enemies against them, and then they would cry to the Lord, and then He would send judges to deliver them and to guide them. And like Samson was one of the judges, and like Samuel was there a more blessed leader and judge like Samuel, so used by the Lord? What can we learn from this? That when there is not a judge, when there is not someone who is guiding and judging and ruling the people, they get astray. And that's what is happening in our lives spiritually. When there's not a judge, when there's not someone who is guiding and ruling our lives, we get astray. When the Lord Jesus is not ruling our hearts, judging and guiding us by His Holy Spirit and His Word, we will get astray. Earlier or later, it will happen. So, there's a danger, even for the children of God, when they will not look upon Christ, when they will not watch Him, when they will not imitate Him, they will get astray. When they will not live near to Him, they will get astray. And what a miracle, what a wonderful thing that the Lord is so faithful that He was sending judges. At the same time, sin is having fruits and results for the people. And that will happen to us. What we can learn from this chapter is this thing, that they allowed the pagans to live among them. They were tired of fighting against those Gentiles, and they liked their rest, so they left those Gentiles among them. Well, the Lord had said that they should drive them out, fight them out of the promised land. They didn't do that. They allowed them to stay, and then those pagans started to be the means by the Lord whereby they were punished. And that's spiritually true in our lives. When we allow sin to stay in our lives because we are tired of fighting against sin and we make peace with sin, that will have a result in our lives. Maybe you say, well, they said, well, now we are in the promised land, so that's where we have to be, so, you know, that's enough. Is that true? Is it enough when you know the Lord as your Savior, so that you can say, now I know that He prepared a place for me in heaven? Is that enough? Didn't the Lord say in His Word that we should be holy like He is holy? And is the Lord not teaching in His Word that we should fight against the old sinful nature in our lives and against sin, and that we should not love the world? So when we will start to leave sin, to give sin a place in our heart and life, what will happen? We can see it in the judge Samson. He was used really by the Lord. And he is in Hebrews 11 one of the heroes of faith. But he allowed sin in his life. He was so strong. and he was so weak. Oh, yeah, we are so weak in ourselves. We need the one that is more than Samson, the most strong judge, the Lord Jesus, to overcome all our weakness and our sins. Otherwise, sin will overcome us. That's what happened to the people. They left the pagans there. And then the pagans, they didn't fight them, and the pagans started to fight the people of Israel. So if we will make peace with sin, a peace will overcome us. That's what Paul says in Romans 6. Don't you know that when you will live in sin, you will be a slave of sin? It will take your freedom, your joy in Christ. What a warning is there in this history. Oh, but how good it is to see the faithfulness of the Lord. If you sit here this evening and say, oh, I'm gonna stray again and again, and today I have to confess, I'm so ashamed that we read, nevertheless the Lord raised up judges. He has raised up that great judge, the Lord Jesus, which delivered them out of the hand of those that spoiled them. He overcame, he conquered Satan and sin and death. So, be obedient to his words. Believe in the Lord Jesus and be saved. Cry for the Holy Spirit to apply this word to your heart, so that you will receive a faithful and obedient heart and will be renewed to the image of Christ by grace alone. Amen. Let us pray and thank the Lord. O Lord, almighty and gracious God, we thank thee for thy word. We need thy word. We are like sheep going astray. We are so ready to leave sin, to make peace with sin in our lives. O Lord, but thou hast sent the judge, the Lord Jesus, and he is conqueror. And in Christ we are more than conquerors. Lord, give us that faith. We will never find a foundation in our own hearts to stand for thy judgment seat. But, O Lord, if we found a foundation in the Lord Jesus, then we will start to hate and fight sin, the fight of faith. And, O Lord, by the power of the Holy Spirit, be renewed from day to day. Never satisfied about our own spiritual life, but also never ashamed about the Lord Jesus. We thank thee for thy word. Lord, bless it to our souls. Forgive us our sins. Be with us when we will gather with the Confession of Faith class. O Lord, bless the teaching to their hearts. We pray that thou will keep Satan down, so that he will not be able to do harm to our souls, to our congregation. O Lord, let thy kingdom come. Let thy will be done. Hallowed be thy name. We thank thee. We pray it in the forgiveness of our sins, for Christ's sake. Amen. Let us sing Psalter 84, stanza 1 and 2. Psalter 84, stanza 1 and 2. Stanza 1, I graciously will teach thee the way that thou shalt go, and with my eye upon thee, my Council make thee know. 84, stanza 1 and 2.